This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Wednesday. It is Wednesday, right? It is. It's hump day already. And it's awesome. And here's what we've got. They're going to have a draft. I'm sorry. They're totally going to have a draft. We'll talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about the CDC. Mobster funerals. Fauci and the CIA connection. This is interesting. Travel rules for kids. Senator Bob Menendez. The elites still don't fully understand Trump. Neither does much of the base. We'll talk about that. Debate night preview. Not election night preview. Debate night preview. All that and so much more is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to address the big story of the day. Or I should say the big story of last night. As we were wrapping up last night's show, Philadelphia began to descend into madness. I'm not going to go into all the details of it. You've seen the video by now. You know all the stories, the looting. It was really bad. They essentially lost control of the city, as they did during a lot of the Black Lives Matter protests. They lost control of portions of the city for a period of time, and it became a very, very, very scary place. And during this, and all day today, I've seen it as they're picking up the pieces, they're figuring out what's going on. You see all kinds of different takes on everything. You know what my take is. My take has always been, and will always be, you voted for this. But the question people want to know is, when is this going to turn around? When is this going to stop? When is this going to change? You look at all these endless videos right now of New York City, of depending on where you are in the city, but you know, illegal after illegal after illegal, they're lined up down the sidewalks. The crime, the shoplifting, the stabbing, the homeless, the drugs, it's terrible. People want to know when America's cities are going to turn around and come back. And because of how this country used to be, people are very, very, very hopeful that we are in a place where the cities are able to turn around and come back in the near future. But I'm about to explain something to you. It may sound disheartening. It's not meant to be that. It's just that we have to adjust our way of thinking. To explain this, let's explain New York City in the 70s. New York City in the 70s was a crime-ridden disaster. This was the heroin craze. It was violent crime, drugs. It was a disaster. And then people love to discuss, when we talk about American cities today, they love to discuss the turnaround, the revitalization. How about that big word, Chris? The revitalization of American cities. Wow! Look at New York City! They turned things around. They elected Rudy Giuliani because those New Yorkers had had enough. And look at what a great city it became for 20 years before it eventually descended again. People love on the left and right. They love bringing up New York, mainly the right, as some evidence that cities can, of course, turn themselves around when it gets bad enough. But they're missing something completely. People on the right miss this. People in general are missing this when it comes to America's cities. The people of America in the 70s, 80s, 50 years ago, the people of America were more equipped, were more ready to learn valuable lessons and change their behavior than Americans are today. They were more ready then than they are now. And allow me to explain. I'm going to use an analogy here. Then we'll go back to this explanation about what we're seeing and why it's not going to change soon. Let's say you're an athlete. Your whole childhood, you're an athlete. You play basketball and football. You're a basketball and a football player. Your whole life. Childhood, junior high, high school, basketball, football player. Even in college, you don't play really at the college, but you play a ton. You're always playing with your friends. So you're an athlete. You're an in-shape person who's used to being in shape. Doesn't mean you're a Greek god. You're used to being in shape. And then life happens. This happens to all of us for various periods of time. We'll call it for you, we'll call it a five-year span. Maybe you go through a nasty divorce or who knows what's going on. You hit the toilet in your life. You are drinking all the time. It's fast food and pizzas every night, sleeping in, and you get fat. You get 5 years of fat. There's all of a sudden a five-year layer of fat sitting on that former athlete body you had. Okay, that's you. That's one scenario. Now let's talk about me. Me? I've never played sports. I have, but the hypothetical here. I've never played sports. I've always just been kind of a book nerd. Very good grades, of course. I told you it was a hypothetical. Very good grades. More of a book nerd. A slovenly type. Always been a little chunky. And I've never been in shape. Really never had any kind of sustained workout program. And then, same thing happens to me. Nasty divorce, fired at work. Who knows? I hit some funk in my life. And I go deep in. Booze, pizza, sleeping in. And I get five layers of fat on me. Well, there's you, the athlete, that's fat. And me, the non-athlete, that's now fat. What's going to happen from now is we make the decision together. Together, we're going to turn this around. And we're going to lose the weight and we're going to get back in shape. You are going to have a much easier time at getting back in shape and losing the weight than I am. Why? Because you're the type of person who has trained your body and your mind for however many years in athletics. So you automatically know. You know the sweat it's going to take. You know the exercises to do. You know how to do them. And you have it inside of your heart, inside of your mind. You've already done it. You've had the two-a-days in football. You know what it's like to get up at 6 a.m. and strap it on and go sweat. But you, since you've done it, you are a person who is ready to lose that weight. But then there's me, fat, slovenly, out of shape Jesse. I've never done it. I've never been to a sports practice. I've never served in the military. I've never done it. I don't know what it's like to wake up and grind. So for me to lose five layers of fat is going to be horrific compared to how easy it is for you. And this was just a hypothetical, I should note. If you're fat and you want to lose it, you can start today. It's not as bad as I say. Anyway, that is America's cities now versus what they were 50 years ago. Oh, but New York turned it around. Yeah, but we were a different country made of different people back then. And the reason I had this, the reason we're having this conversation today is I had such a disheartening conversation with a New York friend of mine yesterday, day before yesterday, I think it was. I had this conversation with a New York friend of mine. What were we discussing? Of course, it was all about the illegals. Hey, what's going on in the city? How bad is it in the city? What's going on? And she lamented to me how bad things are in New York City because of the homelessness, because of the illegals, because of the crime. She was talking about how bad it was. And then we were just drawn about some things and we started talking about her friends. She doesn't live in New York anymore. She moved to Florida like everyone else, but we were talking about her friends. All her New York friends. And she was talking about how mad they were. And I said, well, yeah, but what about your lib friends? What about your left friends? She said, Jesse, you don't understand. All my friends on the left, all my Democrat friends in New York, they are disgusted by what is happening right now in the city. They're mortified by it. They can't believe it. They're amazed by the destruction. They say Eric Adams has failed them and Joe Biden has failed them and Kathy Hochul has failed them and they are outraged. And she's going on and on about how mad they are. And so I asked a simple question, really the only question that matters, right? I asked the question, okay, are they mad enough to start voting Republican? And she said, oh my gosh, no. Oh my gosh, no. Do you see? We are not a people who are ready to turn things around yet. And I'm not talking about you specifically. I know you were ready yesterday and the day before that. As a whole, as a nation of 300 million people, we're not ready. We've always been fat, and now we've gotten fatter, and we're supposed to lose more weight, and we don't even know where to begin. We look at Philadelphia descending into some third world dump on a Tuesday night in September. And we say to ourselves, surely this is it. I was watching some of that footage last night. I try not to immerse myself in that when I'm off work and home with the fam, but it was really bad and everyone was kind of doing their own thing. So I started digging into all this Philly video and it was unbelievable to watch. And you're watching it and I caught myself saying, man, I bet the people of Philly have had enough of this crap. I bet this is going to be it. But I'm wrong. The truth is, Philadelphia, New York, and all the rest of them, they're going to run out at the polls, to the polls next November, and they're all going to vote Democrat like they always do once again. Because we are not ready for change. Again, not a politician problem, a people problem. We just haven't experienced enough pain yet. And I'll talk about that in a moment. Before I talk about that, let's talk about the pain of knowing you support people who hate your guts. We run into this all over the place in this economy now. Because so much of corporate America is gross, we're just always finding out that we are funding the people who hate us. We're funding the people who actually use the money we give them to spit in our faces. And that's what it's like when you have a normal cell phone company. When you have Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile, that's what you do. Every month you pay a cell phone company to dump on you and your country. That's what you do. And I've done it. I've had all three of them. I'm not judging you. But we do have an option now. We can switch to Pure Talk. We can pick up our phones and dial #250 and switch to Pure Talk. We will save a fortune and we support a company that actually shares and promotes our values. Their CEO is a veteran. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk today. #250, say Jesse Kelly.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, reminding you, you can email the show and we want your emails. We love them. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We'll dig into more of those tonight. All emails are welcome here. Love, hate, death threats. Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. Let's finish up on what we're talking about. We've been talking about New York and Philly, really big cities in general, and how the population, our population, has changed. So we are no longer a people who can recognize the problem, identify what the problem is, and then take appropriate action to turn that problem around, as evidenced by my conversation with my New York friend who was freaking out with all her lib friends about how bad things were in New York. And I asked, are they going to change how they vote? And she laughed in my freaking face and said, no, of course not. And you know why? Well, let me tell you another little story. This is a true story. I have a Marine Corps friend of mine, and he developed a bit of a drinking problem when we were just got back from Iraq, and we only had a couple months left. He was going to get out, and he had a wife, kids. Got himself pretty into the booze hard. He wasn't doing that well after combat. It happens. But he gets himself into the booze hard. We get out of the Marines. We stay in touch. He's trying to put his life together, job, trying to pay bills. But he's hitting it hard, and he's hitting it hard, and he's really hitting it hard. And he begins to have problems at home, problems with his wife. Obviously, he's drinking too much. That always causes conflict at home. And he's talking to me through all this, and he begins to have problems at work, problems. And these are spaced out over the course of years, problems with his wife, problems at work. Problem with his kids. Eventually finds himself with not one, but two DUIs. Still drinking. One day, 5 years out of the Marine Corps, one day he has too much. He has a little car. It's a Honda Civic. He has a little Honda Civic. And by the grace of God, he did not kill anybody, but he ran a red light, almost killed somebody. Swerved to miss them, drunk, of course, hammered, slams his car into some kind of car wash that was catty-cornered to it. Either way, but he's in bad shape and finds himself conscious in the back of an ambulance, staring at the ceiling of an ambulance. And he's sitting there, a young man, young wife, who he loves, children, who he loves,
his car wrapped around a car wash, staring at the ceiling of an ambulance on the way to an airport, or on the way to a hospital. My friend has not had a single drop of alcohol since that day. Now, he had a million warning signs in between the Marines and the ambulance, from the fights to the kids to the jobs to the DUIs to the, then these are the warning signs I know about. He had a million stop signs placed by God in the road of life saying, stop, stop, right about now, you should stop. There's a cliff coming. Stop, stop, please. And he ignored all of them, blazed right by all of them, until he found himself in an ambulance. People think America's cities are about to turn themselves around because of what happened in Philly last night, and we look on in horror at the hordes walking down the sidewalk in New York City, and we say to ourselves, these people who live there, who vote there, have had enough. They're about to turn things around. This has got to stop. Things are going to change. But the truth is, they're not in the ambulance yet. Nothing's changing. Not for a long time. That's the sad truth of the matter. All right. Here's what is going to change. We, as a country, we are going to take better care of widows and orphans than we ever have before. We forget about the Gold Star widows, don't we? And I know we forget about the first responder families, and that's not because we're bad people. It's not because you're neglectful. It's not because you don't care. You're busy. You have a life. You have a bunch of things going on. But man, I've spent time with these people. Wonderful young lady who works for Tunnel to Towers had to escort me around DC for some event I was doing one time. Lost her mother, NYPD, lost her mother in service to the New York City Police Department. And she has to go on. And she has a sister to take care of, and she needs help. Tunnel to Towers is her help. Your $11 a month, that's her help. That's how she gets by. T, the number 2T.org. That's how we help these people. T2T.org. All right? All right. Now, there. Let's have another large conceptual talk about things that are going on right now, shall we? Because, oh, don't get me wrong, it's going to be a very spicy show. We'll talk about the debate. Trump's still out there trying some damage control on the pro-life stuff. We'll talk about what's going on with Biden and Dome. Paul Ryan's an idiot, still doesn't understand the Trump movement and all kinds of other things. But I want to get to something else huge conceptually. There's a feeling on the right amongst Normie Norm, amongst many of the radio show hosts, TV hosts, writers, maybe the Norm and Norma in your life. They have this feeling. There's this feeling of they know things are wrong. They know things are bad. They know things are out of control. And they want things to return to normal. That's you'll actually hear them use the word a lot, return. We must return to normal. We have to return norms or restore. They love that word too. We're going to restore norms. We have to return to norms. Let's get back to norms. Norm loves that. Norma loves that. There's nothing Norm and Norma love more than norms. Norms are everything to them. Let's just get back to the norm stuff. But this is because Americans have been educated with America's garbage pro-government education system. Americans don't properly understand history, and they don't properly understand the world and how the world works once things have gotten bad, really, really bad, and really out of control. Americans will look on, Norm and Norma, not you, but Norm and Norma, he will look on right now at everything that is wrong. And he just, in his mind, he thinks that people can decide or will decide that this is too bad and they're going to stop. But he's dead wrong. And Norm and Norma have no idea what it's going to take to save this country. And I will explain in just a moment.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I can't wait to get to the mob funeral portion of this. Give me just a second. I think I'm going to go to one. Just a heads up for everybody. I'll get to that in a moment. Before I get to that, let's finish this. Norm and Norma. We're talking about the right. Forget about the commies. On the right. They believe that we can return to norm, that we can return to a normal country. And they believe that that is a choice, that people will simply decide to stop being crazy, that they will decide on their own to stop being evil and stop being corrupt. Norm and Norma understand they're corrupt. They do get that. They just think that they'll stop at some point in time. But Americans do not fully grasp, because we've had such a wonderful country for so long, we don't really grasp history all that well. And a lot of this is because of our watered-down, putrid education system. When things are rotted and corrupt, especially when they're rotted and corrupt at an institutional level, once the rot gets into the bones of a nation, like they're in our bones, there is no, quote, returning to norm. Once you get to where we are, there's no coming together. There's no healing divisions. There's no returning to anything you think you had or anything you do think you had. Once you get to this place as a country, you will divide and you will fight, and there will be a victor and there will be a loser. Now, Lord willing, that fight here in America is fought exclusively on political grounds. We don't want that to ever get to a physical place. But there is going to be a fight now, and there will be no returning to anything at all without that fight. And that fight is going to make so many people so uncomfortable that I worry if the right is ready for it. And here's where I'm going with all this. CDC puts out some language today, some guidance. When it comes to the COVID-19 vaccine, they're still calling it, for children. Now, I'm going to be very forward about some things here. The COVID-19 vaccine is not a vaccine. It is a therapeutic. It's not a vaccine by any stretch of the imagination. Remember, they started changing the dictionary definition of vaccine about the time they put this out. It is not a vaccine. Not only that, COVID is not dangerous for your child. The vaccine is dangerous for your child. That is not my opinion. That is stuff we know now from medical document after medical document after scientific document after scientific document. The COVID vaccine poses so many more risks to your child than COVID ever could. Your child is in no danger from COVID. None. You might get the sniffles for a day or two. Your child is fine. Yet the Center for Disease Control, America's Center for Disease Control, is now pushing these things for everyone aged 6 months and older. So to put this in perspective, the top organization, the official organization in the United States of America that deals with the control of disease, is knowingly pushing a harmful poison into the hearts of children of this country. There is no norm you can return to that doesn't involve people at the Center for Disease Control going to federal prison. We cannot save the United States of America until government people go to prison. Politicians, FBI agents, anyone, people who work at the CDC, FDA, IRS, government people must start going en masse to federal prison for years, or there is no norm to return to. Because once you get to a place as a nation where you are so rotted out that the Center for Disease Control is bought and paid for by Big Pharma and everything else, there's nothing worth saving. Even if you could return back to norm, even if you could, everyone just kind of decide, hey, all you bad people at the CDC, hey, you guys are just going to, you're going to change your ways, right? You're going to change your ways. You're going to stop doing all that. But even if they could, you wouldn't even want to live in that country, because that country is just painted rust. It's just a country full of people who aren't worth protecting. Our institutions have turned hostile to us. As you've heard me say a million times on the show, the biggest overarching story in the world right now is Western governments declaring war on their own citizens. That is the biggest story in the West. It's government after government after government after government. They have turned into ridiculous clown shows that have declared war on their own citizens. Did you see Justin Trudeau in Canada? Look, this is a great example of it. So evil and stupid and broken, because they are all forced to be pro-Ukraine all the time, they bring in some 90-some-year-old man and give him a standing ovation, and it turns out the dude was Waffen SS, straight-up Nazi during World War II, and the Canadian Prime Minister had to apologize for it today.
I also want to reiterate how deeply sorry Canada is for the situation this put President Zelensky and the Ukrainian delegation in. Friday's joint session was about what Canada stands for, about our steadfast support of Ukraine's fight against Putin's brutality, lies, and violence.
Yeah, I got it. Notice how he's most sorry about the bind it put Zelensky in. He's not sorry to all those Canadian citizens who sat and watched their parliament give a standing ovation to a member of the freaking Waffen SS. He's not sorry to the Canadians. Why? Because Justin Trudeau doesn't ever think about Canadians. He hates Canadians. He's worried about, his system membership card. And the system membership card demands that world leaders today pay homage to Ukraine at all times. Western government people have to go to prison. And the reason I'm so emphatic about this, and I talk about it so much, is Norm can't seem to get himself there. He can't. If I were to sit down with Norm right now, I'm thinking about people I know. I bet you're already thinking about Norma or Norm in your life, people you know. And you were to sit down with them and you were to lay out, just what we just talked about, the CDC. Hey, did you see what the CDC said? And this is the problem with this, and this is the problem with that. And you were to lay out all the problems with Norm and Norma, you would probably get nothing but wholesale agreement from them. They'd probably be nodding their head the whole time. Oh, you're right. That is bad. Oh, man, they recommended that? Man, that's terrible. Oh, that sucks. That's terrible. And then right when you got to the point of, okay, and that's why I advocate for the arrest and public trial of the head of the CDC, and I want her thrown in federal prison for 50 years, that's when Norm will recoil in horror and act like you're some kind of nut job conspiracy theorist, alt-right Nazi who just... That is going to pull us way out of the norms. You see what the problem is? The problem is Norm, he's starting to come around and wake up to what the problems are. But Norm is a million miles away from figuring out how to solve them or from wanting to even be around solving them. Norm doesn't want to send anyone to prison. Norm doesn't want anybody punished. Well, no, nobody should know. No one should be in prison. I don't know. Guys, what do you think? Let's just stop doing that. Except that's not how evil works. Evil only stops being evil once evil becomes afraid of good. Otherwise, evil keeps going. Oh, speaking of which, would you like Exhibit A? Forget about the CDC. You want to talk about the CIA? Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I am so excited to be here today. Now, the final agency we're going to talk about is we're going to move back to the haven't experienced enough pain quite yet thing, because that's in the news. Fauci secretly visited the CIA to pressure analysts into rejecting the lab leak theory. Now, I'm not going to spend all day on this, but I just want to make sure we understand what that means. The person Trump put in charge of the disease in the country coordinated directly with the spy agency of the country to lie about where the disease came from. That's how rotted our institutions are. That's how broken our institutions are. It's insane to me. Absolutely. You know what? Now let's move on. Now we're going to move on. All right. Enough. Let's talk one more thing about the pain. People haven't experienced enough of it yet. The auto workers union right now is in strike. Why are they in strike? It's kind of complicated, but not really. The bottom line is they're in strike because the Biden administration has declared war on oil and gas. The communists have declared war on oil and gas. They've gotten the big auto manufacturers to go along with them, and they've decided on just some massive switch to electric vehicles, even though we're not near ready for that yet. Not near ready for that yet. This massive switch to electric vehicles is enriching China, and it's costing America's auto workers thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs. So this is an interesting scenario. And Democrats understand there's a tightrope they're trying to walk here. They need all those union votes. Well, at the same time, they've declared war on all those union jobs.
This technology is happening. It is coming. It is coming no matter what.
Yeah, that's the Rear Admiral. Here's more from the Rear Admiral.
I saw how the past generation of union auto jobs helped build the middle class and build communities like the one that I grew up in. I also saw what happened when those factories closed. What the UAW is trying to do right now is to make sure that this next chapter of the auto industry, which, let's be very clear.
Yeah, we got it. They're in a serious bind. Because the auto workers in this country, in fact, most union workers, blue-collar union worker types in this country, they've had war declared on them by Democrats, the Democrats they support. They're going to have to choose going forward whether they would like a job or keep voting for Democrats.
The refugee system is essentially not set up for this, that it will collapse. It's an improvised system.
I pressed the wrong one. Here.
There's nothing about this move.
The refugee system is essentially.
It's almost as if the administration's two goals are collided.
Anyway, that was me pressing the wrong button a couple times. I think it'll all work out fine.
It's almost as if the administration's two goals are colliding. On the one hand, fight climate change. On the other hand, build out the middle class by supporting unions. And yet we know that when it comes to actually building electric vehicles, it requires less labor.
The truth is that auto workers who still vote Democrat, any union workers, the pipe fitters, at longshoremen, any blue-collar worker who still votes Democrat, because that's what you've always done and that's what your dad did because he was in the union and they're going to take care of us. If you're a union worker who still votes Democrat, you're stupid. You're very stupid and you're voting to eliminate your job. And it's not my job to be nice to you about that. It's not. This is not your mommy's show. It's your daddy's show. If you vote Democrat now, especially if you're an auto worker, if you're one of the UAW workers, maybe listening to the sound of my voice right now, and you vote Democrat, you deserve to get fired. Honestly, you're so stupid, you deserve it. These people get up at their own debates and they announce publicly their intention to destroy your industry. And if after all that, you still run down to the polls and vote Democrat, you're so stupid, you don't deserve a job. You don't. I hope you get fired, and I'll laugh when you do. How about that? All right, we'll get to some emails and some things. And this mobster funeral. Before we get to the mobster funeral, you know what? Let's talk about the mobster funeral, because there's a mobster, Matteo Messina Denaro, he just died. And he was in hiding. He was in hiding because he killed a lot of people. There were a lot of people, and he eventually got cancer and had to get cancer treatments under a presumed name because he was on the run from the law, and he killed a lot of people and whatnot. Anyway, he's about to have a big mafia-style funeral. I have always wanted to attend a mafia funeral. I've always wanted to. Oh, Chris, I would wear all black. I would even have the all black, you know, flower. I don't know where they get the all black flowers. But I would have the all black. Oh, I would totally have the all black flower. And even though I don't have very much hair, I would still put a lot of gel in it. And I would go complete sunglasses. What are you shaking your head at? I would go sunglasses. And what, Chris? An umbrella? Oh my gosh, an umbrella. Yes. Whether it's raining or not, I would have the black umbrella would be out there, you know, and I would drive up to the funeral playing that theme song of The Godfather on blast super loud in my car speakers just so everybody knew. Hey, look, there's one of us. And I would stand there by Tony. And no, I'm serious. I've always wanted to go to one. I want to experience everybody walking up to the Godfather. Sorry, Godfather. He was, Tony the Nose was always the best. Will I carry a hero gun? Yes, I will. Because you can never be too sure at these mob funerals if you're going to run into a violent criminal. And if I run into a violent criminal, I will need to pull out a hero gun or a hero arrow to stop him from putting me in concrete shoes and throwing me in the Hudson. And hero's a non-lethal gun, so I don't have to be worried about New York law enforcement busting me for some illegal gun and sending me to prison. Hero gun shoots pepper balls. Hero arrow shoots a pepper gel. It even has a 120 decibel alarm. You think I won't set that off during a mafia funeral? I'll set that off during a mafia funeral if I'm being attacked. Either way, get one for yourself and your loved ones and your mafia funeral attending friends. Hero2020.com code Jesse gets you a special discount. All right. Hero2020.com code Jesse. Now, I can't believe I forgot about AOC describing the illegals coming into New York. And it's not that big of a deal. It was way worse with Ellis Island.
Of when it comes to people coming to New York City today are nothing. I'm telling you, nothing compared to the daily amounts of people that we saw coming in from through Ellis Island in the first half of this century. We're seeing, you know, more than 12 million immigrants that passed through Ellis Island between 18.
Well, they're really going with this. And look, it goes to show how confident she is. Here she is from the Bronx, elected easily the last time, and totally confident this time she can rub the faces of New Yorkers in what she's doing. Just like I've said a whole bunch during this show, a lot of Americans have not experienced enough pain yet. And I don't like that. I'll tell you, look, this is actually creating a moral dilemma for me. This whole pain thing. Pain. What do I feel about it? What do I think about it? How much do I like it? When I see these things happening, I think to myself, I hate that. People are suffering. I want that to change. At the same time, I know that change can't come without the pain. So how am I supposed to feel about it? You know what? I'm going to elaborate on this in just a minute. Pain and suffering and how I feel about the whole thing. Then we'll talk about a little bit more about Bob Menendez, about how these system servants, how they serve under a religion that has to be very frustrating. All that and so much more still to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show.
This is an iHeart podcast.